We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. We are so thankful that you have tuned in today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My wife and I are just getting back into the swing of things. We were away last week, refreshing ourselves in the Lord, and so we are thankful that you have tuned in. Today we want to give a big thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you have any concrete block work, I was talking with Mr. Anderson here a couple of weeks ago. They do stucco as well. And so if you need any of those things done, call the professionals, 536-5804. Ask for Greg. Tell him you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we would be most appreciative of that. So we have been talking for quite some time now about being led by God, being led by God. And so that's what we're going to do again today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to begin actually in verse number 12. How we got to this point is in the Lord's Prayer. The scripture says Jesus taught them to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation." And so some of the things that we have talked about thus far is that he leads us in righteousness for his namesake. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us to make his name glorious. He leads us when our heart is overwhelmed, and he leads us by the Spirit of God. I will also say this, he leads us by his word. God is never going to violate his word. We live in a culture where people, when they give their word now, it really doesn't mean that much unless you have it in writing, and then you've got to make sure that there are no loopholes or escape clauses or anything like that. I'm a big fan of the National Football League. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, but when it comes to the contracts that are written in the National Football League, they really don't mean that much. At any point in time, the team can cancel the contract, and they just say, "Well, we don't have to fulfill the rest of the contract." And it's like, wow. But if the player kind of flips that on its head and says, "Well, I just don't want to fulfill," well, then you're going to have to pay back all of this money and all that sort of stuff. And so I when I see stuff like that going on in this world, I'm thankful that we have a God who has exalted his word and his name above all else. He says, "When I give you my word, it is going to come to pass. It is going to come to pass." And he's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't boast. He just says, "This is what I'm going to do." One of my favorite sayings is that God tells the devil and he tells humanity, "This is what I'm going to do, and you can't stop me." He tells them in advance. You know, most of the time, if you know what somebody is going to do before they do it, again, back into football, there was a team that knew what the signals were for the opposing team. And so every time the quarterback called out a signal, the defense already knew what was coming, and the team that was supposed to win going away ended up almost getting shut out because the other team knew what was coming, and so they made the adjustments that were necessary. But God says that his word will not be thwarted. It is going to go forth. It's going to accomplish its purpose, and it is going, it will not return to him void. So let's look to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll see a little bit about the aspect today of God's leading us. In verse number 12, it says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." So, as we are talking about this leadership, it really helps to be able to look and see the practical applications in the Word of God, where God leads people. And a lot of times we mysticize and romanticize people, not in a passionate sort of way, but we romanticize people that we encounter in the Word of God as if thinking that they were somehow perfect, that they never made a mistake, they never missed it, they you know, were a special group of people. But the Scripture says that they were people just like we are. They were you know, Jesus was tempted in every manner like we are, yet without sin. In other words, he never gave in to the temptation. He never blew it. But everybody else at one point in time missed the mark. You know, you can read in the Gospels and you can see Peter missing it over and over and over again. You know, Peter's kind of magic number was three. He kind of made the same mistake three times before he finally got it. And then he, made the adjustments. And, You see after the day of Pentecost that Peter was very bold, but you'll also find a little bit later that Paul writes and says that when Peter had come to visit him, that he was influenced by the legalists that wanted to insist on going back to the written code. And Paul said, "And I withstood him to his face." Now, before you think that those two had a contentious relationship all the time, you also need to understand that Peter writes about Paul, and he says some of the things that he writes about are hard to understand. But that doesn't mean that they were at each other's odds. That just meant that both of them had some issues. Paul and Barnabas had gotten into a situation where they were ready to go on their second missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul said, "No, he abandoned us the last time. He bailed on us the last time, and we can't afford to take that risk." And it said that things got kind of contentious between the two, to the point that Barnabas took John Mark and went on his way, and Paul took Silas and they went on their way. But that's not the end of the story. You see, John Mark was valuable to the kingdom of God because God used him. Barnabas helped to bring him up, help him to mature in his walk to the point that he was the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the source of the information that John Mark had came from Peter. Peter was the source of the information in the Gospel of Mark. And you say, well, so he and Paul didn't get along, and so he became, you know, allied with Peter, except for Paul writes later on and says, "Be sure and send John Mark to me because he is beneficial to the kingdom." And so understand that even in the Old Testament, there were people and they weren't perfect. So if today I'm not here to just, you know, condone imperfection and say, oh, well, we're all not perfect and we shouldn't make any effort. What I am trying to tell you is that when you read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, you're going to see that Paul, you know, the author of more books in the New Testament than anybody else, one of the most influential leaders of Christendom in all of history, that he wasn't perfect, but God led him. God led him. Look at what it says in verse number 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. A door was opened to me by the Lord. When you are being led by God, I'm telling you that God will open the doors for you. You will not have to push them down. God will open them for you. When you are being led for the purpose that Paul was being led, he said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. Now, you know what else Paul said? Paul wrote in another place, and he said, pray for me that the door of ministry would be open. And so you and I, we need to be praying and asking God, saying, God, would you lead me? Would you open the doors for me? When people ask me to pray for jobs for them, I do not just pray for a job. I pray for God to open the job that he has for people. And that is a place where their needs are going to be met and they are going to be able to be utilized for his glory and for his purpose. You see, I am not a pastor who has never been in the workforce, outside of the church. I have held numerous jobs. I have washed dishes. I have sold furniture. I have sold shoes. I have worked retail on multiple different levels. You name it, I've done. I have sold items at a flea market. So I don't understand how people just sit around and wait for some mystery door to open when God wants to open a door for you today. God wants to open a door for you today. Now, I've told the story before, and it was quite some time ago. But my wife and I had just been married a few weeks. I was doing some part-time work. I was delivering flowers. I forget what I was doing, but I was doing everything I could to make ends meet. She had very little problem getting a full-time job, but I was really struggling. And on the night of my parents' 25th anniversary, less than 24 hours after we had been in church praying for God to open a door of employment for me, a man came running out of a retail store in a mall that I just happened to be in. And he said, do you still need a job? And God opened the door for me. And you say, well, that was just a job. Well, let me explain something to you. God used that door that was opened there to train me so that another door opened in that same field. It was selling shoes, where I became a lower level management. He used my favor at that job to get me transferred to a store down in Texas, where I became an assistant pastor at a church, but I needed supplemental income. And so I was driving a lot of miles, 63 miles and then 81 miles each way, both of those, just so that I could have that ministry position. And then God used that job to get me to transfer to a management position down here in Melbourne, Florida, which is allowed me to become part and very active in a church in Melbourne. And that ministry and that local employment is what caused God to open the door to where I became the pastor of Merit Assembly of God 22 and a half years ago. You see, you might not look at the door that's open right now and see that it's all that important, but God is going to use you at your current level. Do what you're doing now. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it to excellence. Do it with the purpose of making Christ known. and God will see to it that the next door opens just at the right time. You see, so many people are trying to self-determine their destiny. Some people get frustrated, and that's what happened to Paul. It says, even though that the Lord had opened the door to him in verse 13, he said, I had no rest in my spirit. Now, I want to encourage you that when God opens the door, you need to rest in that provision that God has for you. When God leads you by his spirit and you know that he's directing you, then you can rest assured. And he said, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. So what happened was, Paul says, God opened a door of ministry for me. I was preaching, and yet it was because of something that I didn't find there that I made a move myself. I made a move myself. And I want to speak to you today, and that is this. If you ever get discouraged because of what you're not finding in a place that God has opened to you, don't just knee-jerk react. Don't just shift, but say, God, you said in your word that you could make the rose bloom in the desert. God, there are some things that are missing in this place. I want to make you known, but specifically, he said, I did not find Titus there. I did not find Titus there. There are some things that we are in need of at Merit Assembly of God. But I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to knee-jerk and say, well, just because I'm not finding what I think I need right now, I'm just going to up and leave. I talked about that before. In one of last week's broadcast, and saying, you know what, God's God. What I am going to do is I'm going to pray the Lord of the harvest, say, God, you brought me into this harvest field. You brought me here, and God, you said to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field. So at Merit Assembly of God, we have been praying for specific laborers to come because we want to increase the ability that we have as a church to impact this community with the love of Jesus Christ. There are specific areas that we are targeting, and we're saying, Lord of the harvest, God, whether it's Titus or whether it's somebody else, we need them. And so we're not just going to pack up and leave because we don't see them. What we're going to do is we're going to pray and say, God, you opened this door. Now, we're asking you to provide the laborers so that we can be effective in this field of ministry. A long time ago, probably between 15 and 20 years ago, God had opened some doors of ministry, dropped some things in my spirit, and my response to the things that God placed inside of me were this: God, when it comes to ministry, we will say yes to everything you ask us to do, but you have got to provide the laborers. What happened very early in our ministry is we were trying to do so much ourselves that it was beginning to weary. We were beginning to fatigue because we were trying to do so much. And finally I said, God, we will say yes to you at every aspect of ministry that you ask us to do. But we also need you to do according to your word, and that is supply the laborers. And so for the people on our staff, whenever they come to us and they say, Pastor, we need this in order to make our ministry more effective. My answer to ministry more effective is yes. It just is. And God has been faithful to provide. If they say, you know, it would be nice to have this, it's not really going to make an impact. It's not going to lead any more people to Jesus. Then my answer is no. You know, I'm interested in making Jesus known. That's what Paul said. He says, you know, when I did not find Titus there, I took my leave of them and I departed for Macedonia. And verse number 14, he says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Nowhere in that particular passage at this point in time does Paul say, you know, hey, God told me to leave. He says, I took my own leave. But he says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. I would say that probably most of the people listening, I can tell you that the person who's speaking have sometimes gotten our spiritual cart before the horse, and we have refused to do things that God told us to do, and we have insisted on doing some things that God has not told us to do. Some point along the line, we may have gotten discouraged and we missed the mark. We failed to take advantage of the opportunity that God has availed us of in opening the door. And if that's you today, I want you to see that what Paul experienced, and that was this, that even though Paul took his leave, the Spirit of God led him back to the path of victory. He led him back from that path of self-presumption, and he positioned him where he was going to be able to make spiritual impact again. He said, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. That means that when Paul came to that place and said, God, you lead me, he led him right to where he led him to Macedonia. He brought him there, and it said, as a result of God being the one who leads, that what happened was the fragrance of knowing God was diffused in every place. The fragrance of knowing God, that knowing God literally changes the atmosphere. But that only happens when we allow God to be the leader. And Paul says, every time, always, when all the time, while God is allowed to lead us, the presence of Christ is going to be spread wherever he leads us. That is God's goal. We are to know him and to make him known. Our mission at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value spiritually and relationally. If you are a human being, you have missed it spiritually at some point in time. And the devil loves nothing more than to come and beat up on people who have missed it and try to get them to feel worthless, like they have let God down to the ultimate and he could never use them ever again. And I want you to know that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is true that we have missed the mark and we're not proud of that, but we serve a Savior. We serve a God who forgives. I was in my devotions here before we went on vacation, and I read in the Psalms, "You are the God who forgives." I remember it. It's just a tremendous revelation. God forgives, and he picks us up, and he says, "Now, if you'll let me lead this time, instead of experiencing defeat, I'm going to lead you to victory." You know, I can think of a lot of people who've experienced defeat, but I can think of a lot of people also who, once they have allowed God to get them back where they were supposed to be and say, okay, God, you be the leader, that from that point on, he led them in victorious finances. He led them in victorious occupations and relationships. God leads people. Listen, God does not just want to lead the pastor. God wants to lead you. He wants to lead your family in righteousness. I believe that our families, our homes should be known more for the presence of God than the presence of the police officers. Okay? Thank God for our police officers. But I believe that our neighbors should know us, because through us, God is diffusing the fragrance of knowing Christ throughout our community. Your neighbors need to know where to turn whenever they have a crisis in their life that they suddenly realize, hey, I need somebody to pray with me. When there's a need that arises, they need to know that they can turn to you and say, hey, can you pray with me so that God will meet this? I don't know about you, but I hate losing. I tell our young people at church, it's like, okay, now when we're getting ready to play this game, you need to know what the rules are. And the first rule is Pastor Bob wins. I am very, very competitive. I don't like to lose. I understand if there are people that are better than me, but I'm not just going to cave in to them just because they say that my parents didn't raise us like that. My parents never let us win at anything. They made us earn the win. And, so I really don't like to lose. And I hate to lose spiritually. And God wants to make sure that we have fewer losses than we do wins. God wants to lead you to spiritual victory. You know, we're here on a Monday. For me, it's a Monday right after a vacation. And that can be somewhat of a challenge for many people. But wouldn't you like God to lead you victoriously this week through whatever project you're dealing with at work or whatever circumstance you're facing at home? Let's ask Him to lead us instead of us trying to do our own thing, shall we say. Let's pray today. Father, I want to thank you that you know what you are doing. You are God, and you are the one who was, who is, and is to come. You are the author, and you are also the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. God, you know the plans that you have for us. And God, I pray today that we would say yes to your will, yes to your plan, and yes to your leadership. God, not just so that our life would be easier, but Lord, we're asking you, would you lead us? Lead us to that perfect job. Lead us to that place that you have picked for us to live. Lead us to the church that you've called us to serve in. Lead us to the place where we can grow spiritually. And Lord, most of all, lead us to those that we can make the fragrance, the presence of Christ known amongst. God, I pray that young people would know you, that adults would know you. I pray coworkers, families, and friends would know the presence of the living God. Lead us for that purpose in Jesus' name. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be in-